today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Guitar virtuoso Anita Strauss joins me today at the Talkin' Rock podcast to talk about a lot of things, including her brand new record, Controlled Chaos, and her first few solo shows, the WWE, and the Evolution pay-per-view she was involved with last month, as well as if she feels like every time she takes a stage, she has to prove herself as a female guitarist.
I feel like that every single time, yeah, of course. A little less lately.
We talk about the current tour of the Guitar Collective, as well as the Alice Cooper experience in her 4.5 years in the band. Also, the differences and the challenges of playing with Alice Cooper as opposed to doing an all-instrumental guitar show.
I think the main challenge as an instrumental tour is, you know, you don't have that energy of the crowd like you would have in an Alice Cooper show.
And we're just scratching the surface as far as Nita's concerned. Al Beck joins me today for rock news, including the legendary guitarist, Tobias Forge from Ghost, somebody covering Elvis, and possibly, quite possibly, the greatest band on the planet Earth, reuniting for their 35th anniversary. That and more today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, thanks so much for checking out this special edition of the Talkin' Rock podcast. Why is it special? Well, it's almost Thanksgiving, so that kind of works. Plus, it's not every day you get to talk to guitar virtuoso Anita Strauss, and that's what we're going to do today, and we cover a variety of topics. So, yeah, give this a listen. Subscribe to the podcast. Give it a 5-star rating. If you like this, write a review. Share with your friends the whole thing. I've got some really killer interviews coming up. As a matter of fact, one I'm road tripping for coming up this weekend, which I should have next week. I've already got guests booked for next week as well. Rock on the Range used to be called Rock on the Range, now called Sonic Temple. We're going to be talking about that next week as well, and that's down in Ohio. Rock on the Range, for those that don't know, is one of the biggest rock festivals in the entire country, and they've kind of changed the name, and we're going to find out exactly who is playing the inaugural Sonic Temple coming up next week, so heads up on that. And like I said, subscribe, follow, 5-star rating if you think that it's worth it. I do appreciate that. In the meantime, Nita's out there doing this Guitar Collective tour with Angel Vivaldi, and she plays in Southeast Michigan in Ferndale at the Loving Touch this coming Sunday. She's on the phone. Nita, how's things going?
Fantastic. Except for the fact that I lost my voice. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. You sound great, actually.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
No, you're more than welcome. So what's the deal with the voice? A late night, talking to the crowd? What's going on?
Oh, just talking too much.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, just we're doing a huge press cycle for this tour. So I've been just talking and talking all day long. And the last day that we were in LA, I was on the commentary panel at a WWE event, and talking over the crowd, I think, was with the last straw.
Yeah, I've been there for sure. Hey, since you brought it up, the WWE, of course, you were part of that Evolution. And I talked to Lizzie Hale, actually, about this. Man, that was quite an experience, huh?
It was incredible. Being a part of WWE Evolution was mind-blowing, a dream come true to see how far the women's division has come in WWE, you know, from all the days, you know, the earlier days of the pudding matches and the, you know, the ways that, you know, the Divas division was back in the day to the way it's grown today. It was awesome to be a part of.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about this. I think you've actually talked about this before, probably, but just entertain me for a minute about this. But do you see parallels to the road of success as far as, you know, a woman in a guitar field as in a woman in the wrestling field?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there are so many parallels that Becky Lynch, who's, of course, the current SmackDown Women's Champion, and I actually did a full hour-long sit-down interview together where we talked about exactly that. If you look on YouTube, it's called Stay the Course, and it's literally just the two of us talking about the parallels in our journey, you know, two completely different women from different countries in different fields with so many of the same challenges. And it was really, really interesting to sit down and talk about that because you realize how many things you have in common.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still find, I mean, even though you've reached a pretty high pinnacle of success, of course, with Alice for a long time now. And I mean, you're hanging out with some of your guitar heroes, I'm sure, with Steve Vai and different things like that. But do you feel like you have to, every time you take the stage, you have to prove yourself?
I feel like that every single time. Yeah, of course. A little less lately. It was interesting, you know, growing up being a female guitar player. And I try not to harp too much on the male-female thing, but it is true that there's a different level of expectation for a female guitar player. You know, there's if there's a guy that's in a band, you know, and a you know regular band of all dudes gets up on stage, no one looks at the guitar player and goes, oh, I bet that guy's not going to be any good.
Right, right.
It just doesn't happen. But that happened to me for so many years, and literally up until as recently as last month when I was on tour with Alice Cooper, I was, you know, signing autographs for fans after the show by the tour bus, and somebody said, you know, my friends all said that wasn't really you playing guitar up there. Was it really you? And I was like, I just did a 5-minute guitar solo. How could I fake that? You know, there's nobody in the world that's good enough to mime that in front of that many people. It's just, it's not doable. So it has been a long road, you know, a long proving ground, but I'm happy to say now that it happens a lot less. And now I'm more focused on proving the people that supported me all these years right, rather than proving all the doubters wrong.
Yeah, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, so I apologize. I don't want to get into that too much. But you just mentioned Alice Cooper, and you've been with Alice for like 4 years. Is that right? Seems like longer. Is it just 4 years?
4.5. Yeah, it'll be 5 years next year.
Yeah, Damon Johnson's a good friend of mine, and man, he's told me some great stories, all you know, positive and just really killer from Alice Cooper's perspective. I remember he said when he joined the band that Alice asked him if he golfed, and he said, "Yeah, I loved golf." And Alice said, "You just hit the jackpot."
Oh yeah, they golf every day, and we all love Damon. Damon's so incredibly talented. And a joy to be around.
Yeah. How's the Alice Cooper experience treated you 4.5 years in?
Well, I don't golf, so
right.
It wasn't as much of a jackpot for me as it was for Dejo. But it's been incredible. You know, I've learned so much playing with Alice. He's such an amazing showman and performer, and everything from the way that he handles his career to the way that he treats his fans to the way that he treats his band. It's really a great example to have in our lives.
Now, were you an Alice Cooper fan growing up?
Yeah, I was definitely a fan of his, and mostly, honestly, because of the guitar players that he had in his band. I was such a huge fan of, you know, Al Petrelli and Red Beach and Kane Roberts. You know, Alice has always picked such great guitar players to be in his band. So to get to have my name, you know, as part of that illustrious list is really an honor for me.
Yeah, I've just seen Kane Roberts' name actually pop it up. I'm old enough, and I've been in this business long enough where when I first got into radio, Kane Roberts actually called the business line. And for whatever reason, I answered the business line in the studio and talked to Kane Roberts for 20 minutes about his brand new record or something like that.
He's actually got a new record coming out now, too. He and I released our solo records right around the same time. My album, Controlled Chaos, came out 2 weeks ago on Sumerian Records. And Kane's album comes out in January on Frontier. So it's funny how we have that parallel as well.
Yeah. But you don't have any guitars shaped like weapons, do you?
Not yet. And actually now, neither does Kane, because we asked him about it. My boyfriend Josh asked Kane if he still had that guitar, and he said he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah, he always reminded me of like...
I never let that thing go.
Yeah, no, that thing was awesome, man, when I was growing up watching him play that thing. So yeah, Controlled Chaos came out a couple weeks ago. Tell me about the record.
Oh, it's been a dream. And actually, I guess it was it just last week? I guess maybe it was just a week ago. Maybe it wasn't even 2 weeks. It just feels like it's been months. But yeah, it's been amazing. It's been a dream come true to release this record. We debuted at number 7 on the iTunes Rock Chart, which was absolutely incredible. That to hear that people care about instrumental music that much, you know, we debuted behind Queen, you know, and POD, and, you know, and Chris Cornell, you know, we were on that chart. It wasn't like the obscure heavy metal chart. You know, we were in the top 10 with Queen. So to see that, especially because I have a Queen cover song on the album, was absolutely mind blowing.
Which song did you cover on from Queen?
The last song on the album is a cover of The Show Must Go On.
Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, I got to check that out, because I just got contacted by your people like yesterday. I've been kids and hockey and the whole thing. So, but yeah, I got to definitely check out the record. You got this guitar collective that you're doing right now with, help me out with this, Angel Vividali? No, wait. Vivaldi. Okay, there you go.
The composer, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been out there on tour with you guys. And I can't believe these were your first solo shows ever. That seems kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah, you know, I've spent my career as someone else's guitar player. I've been touring for 16 years. I've been touring since I was 15, but never under my own name. I was always going out and, you know, getting hired on to play other people's stuff. So to go out there and see my name on the marquee, my name on the tickets, has been an experience that I guess I waited a long time for without realizing it, and it's been really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And you guys are playing here in Detroit on Sunday, and I see you got a birthday show in San Diego, a little warmer weather for your birthday coming up on December 7th.
That's right. It'll be nice to be in my home state of California on my birthday.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I hear, is that Josh in the background?
Josh is here. He's working away on the computer as always.
Yeah, and he of course plays drums with you guys on tour and stuff, and on the record and the whole thing. And I met you guys at Rock on the Range. Time flies. Was it this past year or the year before?
I think it was 2 years ago
when you did the national anthem.
It was Rock on the Range. He can't remember. I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it may have been 2 years ago.
Man, when you did the national anthem, that was so killer.
When they had the storm, right?
God, you know, they all start to run together. You know what I'm saying? It's like this past year, I know for sure they had a storm, but it never came. And we all like huddled underneath the building for like 3 hours and the sun was out the whole time. So I don't know what happened.
Oh, man, no, not the day out. When I did the national anthem, it was like the most pounding rain I've ever experienced in my life. Like, it was the craziest storm that I have literally ever experienced. And it was funny because the storm came right as I was about to play the first note of the national anthem. Like, literally, I was on stage, plugged in with sound, ready for them to press spacebar on the backing track. And then everyone said, wait, hold on. We're waiting. And I was like, what are we waiting for? And I was standing in the middle of the stage, ready to go. And they said, everybody has to evacuate right now. And I was like, the song is 1 minute long. Can't I just play it?
Yeah, just get it out of the way. Right.
Everyone off. Yeah, let me just play it so we can go back to the hotel. And they said, no, everybody has to go right now. And we huddled in the bunkers and the concrete and waited it out. And man, it was the craziest rain I've ever been in. Josh is from Louisiana. He didn't care. He sees rain like that all the time. But for me, I'm from Los Angeles. Like, the most we get is like, you know, a drizzle here and there, and the world stops in L.A. So.
Yeah. No, I think that was the year too that they had to they had to stop Volbeat's set, and then it just poured piss, and then Metallica and I'm taking the stage until like 10:15 or something like that.
Yeah, that was the same day.
It's always crazy in that vortex that is Columbus, Ohio, when Rock on the Range comes out. But well, the new record is out, Controlled Chaos, and you know, I see a lot of these guitarists. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go see Bumblefoot. He's my friend. I'm going to go see him on Friday in Niagara Falls, and I've seen John Five and stuff, and some of these guys are just so good at doing this instrumental thing up on stage. What are some of the challenges as far as just going up there without having an Alice Cooper and just being you?
I think the main challenge as an instrumental tour is, you know, you don't have that energy of the crowd like you would have in an Alice Cooper show. You know, you really have to work a little harder to get people involved and get people, because there's no lyrics for them to sing along to. There's no, you know, a lot of times you're not going to know the songs, you know, especially with my record being less than a week old. You're not going to know, you know, every nuance, and you're not going to be able to really sing along. So you have to bring the super high energy right out of the gate and just, you know, bring the audience there with you. And as long as, you know, Angel is an extremely experienced performer, as am I. So both of us, you know, by our powers combined, we really find a way to draw the audience in and give them a good time.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just think I was at that gig, and I think I told you about this with Alice Cooper at the Varvatos store.
Oh, yes, I remember that. That was when I first joined the band.
Is that when you first joined? Okay, that was like three. Yeah, it's got to be almost 4 years ago now, I'd imagine. Man.
Yeah, it is almost. It would be. It was early of 2015, probably February, March 2015.
It was actually April. It was April 16th because that's my wife's birthday, and we were there on that day. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
April, so 2015. So I guess actually not that early on. I guess I've been in the band almost a year.
Yeah. So, I mean, Alice Cooper must have afforded you some stuff just playing in his band that you probably would have never been able to achieve playing in different bands, huh?
Definitely some experience.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you never say never. You know, who knows what life would have brought if it wasn't Alice. But definitely playing with Alice is a unique experience in and of itself, and I'm very grateful for it.
Now, he's a Detroit guy, or at least he grew up here in his early days. Were you ever affected by any Detroit musicians like Nugent or Seeger, or even some of the newer stuff like Kid Rock and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Detroit scene finds its way all over the country and all over the world, really. So definitely.
Yeah. Hey, real fast, give your clothing line a plug.
Oh, it's actually Josh's clothing line.
Oh, Josh's. Okay, that you wear. That's right. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always wearing it, you know, and not just because I love him very much, which I do, but because I love what this brand stands for. You know, you guys, anybody listening who's familiar with, you know, who's seen me play with Alice, who's seen me wearing these shirts that say "Ego Kills Talent" and "Stay Humble or Be Humbled," and, you know, there's so many other shirts with these amazing messages, and it's really just about the message that you're able to achieve your dreams and follow your passion and do what you want to do and keep your integrity along the way, not lose yourself, not lose who you are, and remain humble and work hard and great things will come to you. And if you can't get behind that message, then you definitely need a shirt.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think it's something that's a great reminder for everybody, and I'm proud to wear it all the time.
That's cool. And, man, hopefully you got enough of them on tour, because your tour schedule looks pretty hectic. It's like you're on 4 or 5 days and off one, eh?
We're doing 29 shows in 31 days, yeah. It's crazy.
Wow.
We'd be doing 7 days a week this week if it wasn't Thanksgiving tomorrow. And we would do a show on Thanksgiving if we thought people would come, but I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody would come.
What are you guys doing for Thanksgiving? Just going to hang out with the crew and the band and whatnot?
Yeah, we're going to do a dinner as a tour. They put a little dinner together for all of us with some turkey and stuff. So that'll be nice. I've actually spent the last, gosh, I think all but one Thanksgiving in the last 7 or 8 years I've been on tour, and we always make it nice because being on tour is, it's like being with your family. It's just a different family, so it's always a good time.
Yeah. And so you got this tour that goes till almost Christmas time, to the 21st of December, like you said. What do you got planned for 2019?
So we get home, like you said, a few days before Christmas, and we've got a charity event with Alice on New Year's Eve. And then after that, we're just full speed ahead, booking for some more solo dates in 2019, and then hitting the road with Alice later on in the year.
Well, I got to dive into this record so I can be fully prepared for a Sunday, the Loving Touch Sunday right here in Detroit. And always great to hear your voice, as raspy as it may be today.
Thank you so much, and looking forward to seeing you guys the 25th at Loving Touch. It's going to be a great time. It's my first solo show ever in Detroit, so I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of you guys there.
How cool is that? Guitar virtuoso Nita Strauss here on the Talkin' Rock podcast, and like I said, tour dates, man, all over the place, up and down, and all throughout the United States. You can check out her page as to where she might be hitting up a venue near you here in Southeast Michigan, where I record this one, in Ferndale on Sunday at the Loving Touch with Angel Vivaldi from the Guitar Collective Tour. So looking forward to checking her out. Man, she's great. I saw that John Varvatos show. Awesome stuff. I've seen her on stage with Alice Cooper. Just great. Really a great guitar player. So if you get a chance, definitely check her out. Hey, coming up for you next, it's Rock News with Al Beck. And today we've got, speaking of great guitarists, man, we've got a legendary one calling it quits on tour. The guys from Slipknot have all sorts of material left over from an album they did 10 years ago. And like I said in the intro, possibly the greatest rock band ever on the planet Earth, reuniting for at least one show in 2019 for their 35th anniversary. We'll tell you about that coming up with Al Beck. All right, rock news with Al Beck. And tell you what, going from one great guitar player to another, not you, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Going from Anita Strauss to Joe Perry. Just had the guys from the Black Moods on earlier this week on the show. Josh Kennedy, the lead singer, and they're opening up the shows for Joe Perry, but I guess that's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen anymore, Meltdown. Joe Perry, as we all know, he fell ill, had to cancel some shows, went into the hospital or whatever, and he was on the mend. But now it is announced that Joe Perry has canceled his solo tour. The upcoming dates. And the one of the points that I saw in an article I was reading that if he does reschedule these, there's no news yet as to when or if he's going to reschedule these dates. But if they do, they're going to have to do it early next year because I think there's a residency with Aerosmith starting in April in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Their anniversary show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I always wondered about guys like this. I mean, look, you know, Joe Perry, I mean, a legend, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, the whole thing. Why do you tour around and play 1,000 club venues or 1,000 people venues, you know what
right.
I'm saying? It just seems kind of strange to me. It's like you know, if I had the scratch and had what he has, I think I'd be like, you know, vacationing somewhere or something. But,
yeah.
But I guess these guys just like to play. I remember about almost 10 years ago now when Steven Tyler fell off the stage in Sturgis. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he got hurt, and so they had to cancel the rest of the tour and whatnot. And so Joe Perry, I don't know, was on his tour bus or whatever, just like driving in this direction and said, hey, mind if I stop by and talk on the radio with you guys? We're like, yeah. So that day I come into work and my boss says, hey, oh, by the way, Joe Perry's going to stop in.
Oh,
like,
geez.
What? That's a fine wake up call. So,
right. Hope you're ready.
So anyways, yeah, we'll see what happens with that moving forward. But I feel bad for the guys from the Black Moods because I don't know what they're going to do now. So,
yeah. And like I said, Joe Perry, you got to take care of your health, though. So if he doesn't feel right, you got to make that call to go ahead and cancel it. But, you know, maybe not as good as going to a live concert, but I guess it'll have to do is a concert DVD. And I guess Volbeat has got one coming out here in a few weeks, and it actually features it's called Live. It's Let's Boogie Live at Talia Parkin. You can pick this thing up December 14th. It does actually feature recording of one of their brand new songs as well.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've heard some new stuff from Volbeat. I remember talking to those guys one time, and it's, you know, those guys are gigantic over in Europe, and
yeah.
They were playing Rock'em Ring or something like that, and I mean there was like hundreds of thousands of people there, and they're playing on stage. I'm like, holy crap.
And of course they're Danish themselves too. Sometimes people, I've heard people talk about Volbeat and go, what is he saying?
Exactly. They're not good for breakfast, but they are Danish.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Thank you. But, you know, they've got that DVD coming out here on December 14th. And I do like a concert DVD. Another band that maybe will be doing one, at least it's in the plans, is Ghost.
Yeah. And that's going to be cool. You know, Tobias Forge, it's funny. Every time he does an interview, man, it gets picked up as news. And I had a chance to interview him, and he's pretty thoughtful and stuff. And I love the band. I love the new record. I just listened to it the other day. As a matter of fact, I did a whole workout just to Ghost music.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
That sounds like a good choice for a workout.
Yeah, there you go.
But he did say that he's been working on some stuff. He is planning on maybe releasing something in 2019. He said, don't expect a covers EP. He said they've done it. It's predictable at this point. But he's not closing down the option. They'll do more covers. They're just don't. That's not what's going to be coming out in 2019. Ooh. But he does say his words. He's very keen on the idea of doing a concert DVD as well.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm still stuck on that Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that with one of the guys here today.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it over the weekend.
Did you?
Killer,
okay.
Man.
Really good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Did you see it?
No, I have not.
No, it's cool. It's definitely, if you're a music fan, you should definitely go check it out. I was never a huge Queen fan.
Sure.
But I mean, a lot of those songs, you know, you just can't escape. I mean, We Will Rock You and Bohemian Rhapsody and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's one great line in the movie, which I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler, but Mike Myers plays this radio guy. And he's like telling the band how, you know, that Bohemian Rhapsody, it's 6 minutes, it's just way too long and blah, blah, blah. And then at one point he says, and by the way, kids will never bang their heads in their car to this song. Which is like a total, you know, Wayne's World thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I like that.
So I'm sure that didn't really happen in real life.
Right, I'm sure, yeah.
But it was a great line anyway, so I'm not giving up too much.
No, I don't think that's a spoiler personally. But you know, speaking, we were talking about covers when we were talking about Ghost here. How about this? How would you like to hear Glenn Danzig covering Elvis.
You know, I got to say, I don't know why this hasn't happened before. Right. Really, seriously. I mean, that guy, as far as like, you know, sounding kind of like Elvis, that's the guy right there.
Honestly, until I'd heard this story, I never made the connection. But once I heard him, I'm like, yeah, he does. They have a very similar sounding voice. It just never occurred to me.
I have to imagine Elvis was nicer.
You never know, unless the Colonel got involved.
Well, I had some pretty brutal interviews with Danzig back in the day.
Yeah, well, it's not just going to be one song. It's actually going to be a whole album. Danzig Sings Elvis, and he's looking to put it out here in 2019, but no confirmed release date as of yet. Speaking of new material, not new Slipknot, but some of the members of Slipknot, Clown just revealed that he and Jim Root and also Corey Taylor, they did some songs during the All Hope Is Gone recording sessions. And they put together an album, and it will be seeing the light of day.
Yeah, now it's the 10-year anniversary of that record, which is killer, by the way. Yeah. You know what really sticks out in that record to me is Joey Jordison's drums. I don't know why. It's just like, it's so good.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
He's an amazing drummer. So
yeah, he's a beast.
And now they're like trying to pump up this remastered thing and the whole thing, and now all this stuff is coming out. That's why sometimes I like to ask these bands, you know, and I've asked them, a lot of them lately, like even Hailstorm and different things, you know, do you guys stockpile stuff, you know? You know, I asked the guys from Typo Negative, you know, when Peter Steele died, if they had anything, and they don't. Yeah. They said, there's some live stuff out there, but they don't have any songs or nothing that were done. They were actually recording another record, but they hadn't really gotten into it yet.
Yeah, so. And as bizarre as it is, this keeps coming up on the podcast, Billy Corgan stockpiled about 8,000 songs.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a Buckethead thing, where you just write songs, you play them once, and that's a song, and you move on to another one.
Or Frank Zappa will release an album like once every 2 months or something.
Never thought we'd be talking about Frank Zappa today after Thanksgiving, there you have it.
Hey, there you go. But yeah, they do say if you're expecting a Slipknot album, that's not what it's going to be. It's just guys from Slipknot. So,
all right, now listen, we've waded through Joe Perry and Volbeat and Ghost and Danzig and Slipknot, but let's get to the real band.
Oh, yes, I picked this out just for you, Meltdown. I know how you feel about Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap, one of the greatest rock bands ever.
Well, it's a 35th anniversary of This Is Spinal Tap, and guess what? The guys are reuniting for the anniversary.
They're reuniting, and it feels so good, by the way.
Yeah.
So I talked to Harry Shearer, or should I say Derek Smalls.
Of course, yeah.
Not that long ago, and I think he put out that solo record earlier this year called Small's Change, and anyways, I think like every person that interviewed him asked him about, you know, if they were going to get Spinal Tap back together. So yeah. I guess this is going to be at the Tribeca Film Festival,
and they are going to perform after the screening.
I saw those guys do an acoustic thing, like this is going back 10 or 12 years, and it was really cool to it, like a half empty theater. I'm like, where are all the rock fans? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you're listening to this and you've never seen Spinal Tap and you call yourself a rock fan, you are not. So get on there and get your Spinal Tap in. It's a great long holiday weekend to do that. So there
it is. And it, one of the great, I mean, it started the whole mockumentary thing, really.
It really did. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've been with bands or just hanging out or whatever. And just in passing, that Spinal Tap reference will be thrown out. And no one even says anything about it. You just move along. You know, it's like, you know, I was just talking to somebody there. The guy's from The Offspring, I think, and I was waiting for my turn to interview him, and they're talking about playing the Enormo Dome to an interview right before us. It's like, hello.
Nice.
So right from Spinal Tap. But hey, give your socials. We got to wrap this up. I got turkey to eat.
Yeah, you can find me at Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
At Meltdown WRIF. You can follow the show as well at Talking Rock with One. So there you have it. Of course, you can leave a voicemail too, 248-586-2988, and leave this a 5-star rating or review if you'd like this podcast as well. And check back because I did talk about Bumblefoot while I was talking with Anita Strauss. What's he up to these days? I wonder. I may have to ask him, along with David Ellefson from Megadeth. Hope I didn't just jinx myself. Hey, thanks so much for checking out Talking Rock with Meltdown.